How many believe God the Father has a voice? So last week we talked about this verse here. For as many as are led, verse 14 in chapter 8, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are, and I'm going to say insert a word here, which I won't do it any justice, they are the sons and daughters of God. If we're not led by the Spirit, what does that mean? If we're not led by the Spirit of God, it's possibly we're not a son or a daughter of God, right? In some circles, Christian circles, they don't even teach that the Spirit of the living God can lead us and guide us and direct us. When the Bible's very clear, and we're going to go over some of these today about this subject, but there has to be the right foundation laid in order to understand how the Spirit of God leads us. Some circles are teaching it so mystical that nobody can understand it, when it's very practical according to the Bible. Being led by the Spirit should be for the Christian just like taking a breath of air. It should not be difficult. It should be easy. Last week I shared some stories about being led by the Spirit, about different ministers and different people's lives, and then I inserted some of our own experiences and tried to make people see that God wants to be intimately involved in your life. You know why God wants to be intimately involved in your life? He owns you lock, stock, and barrel. Oh. I don't like that. Well, you should have thought about that before you gave your life to the Lord, because he bought you with a price according to the Bible. Now listen, I don't want this to get harsh. I want it to be free-flowing, and I want it to be easy, but I want you to understand today that God does want to direct your paths. He wants to direct your life. He wants to be involved in your everyday affairs. He wants to be involved in your life from everything to where you work, your vocation, to who you marry, where you go to school maybe in college, where you go to church. God cares. Does he get that serious about our lives? Absolutely. Absolutely. So how do we discern the leading of the Holy Spirit? We did part one last week. I'm going to do today. And John, I think, is preaching next Sunday. And then the following Sunday, I'll follow up with it. And we'll try to finish it up, maybe 3 or 4 weeks of it. But I want to really lay a foundation so that you really understand the leading of the Holy Spirit. So the first thing you got to understand is God has two wills. Say that with me, two wills. It is a general will and a specific will, or a perfect will, if you will. A lot of wills in that, wasn't there? He has a general will and a perfect will. Here's the problem with Christians. And I don't want to be critical, because I want us to understand. We get in church circles, we want to bypass the general will and go straight to the specific will. It doesn't work that way. You can never fully grasp or get a hold of the specific will for your life from God unless you get the general will down. We get the cart before the horse. How many knows what I'm talking about? And God wants us to understand that there is a general will. And you say, well, what is this general will? The general will is this. It is God's word or information in the Bible. This is God's general will right here. What God has already done or provided for us through Jesus, how he wants us to live, his commandments, that we obey his commandments. Listen to me very carefully, church, because some of you, this is where you're not making the connection. You wonder why God's not directing your path and he's not giving you specifics and things aren't working. You're not able to connect the dots and things aren't working like you think they should work. It could be because you have not got into God's general will and begin to practice his general will. Because if you don't understand the general will, you will never make the connection with a specific will. Because in the general will, it is the author who is leading you, the Holy Spirit, who authored the Bible. And he wants you to learn his voice through the Bible. Say amen. You won't learn it any other way. You won't go out in some desert and fast 40 days without never getting into the Word and know the voice of the Lord. Because the Bible says that there are many voices in the world. And all of them have significance. But you got to learn the Holy Spirit's voice through the Word. You got to learn the general will of God before you can ever get into the specific will of God. The Bible speaks of doing the will of God rather than being in the will of God. If you don't do the will of God, that means walk and live in agreement with the written word. God can't get you into the specific will. We tend to focus on the specific will more than we do the general will, when it should be just the opposite. We should not be going out seeking signs and wonders and leadings that are supernatural all the time, when God's saying right here is the basis for everyday living. Is that right? Now listen, I'm not discounting those other things. They do come, but they only come when we get this as a priority. This has to be first. So, we agonize sometimes with these thoughts of whether or not certain things are God's will for our lives, and we shouldn't have to do that, because a lot of the things that we agonize over are already written in the Word. They're spelled out in red or black and white. And we shouldn't have to agonize over them. We should just read them, accept them, and obey them. We hold on to habits and attitudes and behaviors which block God's help because we don't know, or we refuse to accept his written will, his general will. If we're ever going to learn how to be led by the Spirit, the first thing we've got to do, how many knows that ABC starts with A? You start with A, and then you go to B, then you go to C. And A is God's general will. The essence of Christianity is this, folks: not my will, but thine be done. Jesus said it. It's the essence for all of us. It is a bending of our will to the will of God. Is that right? So this has to be the basics right here. We end up begging God to do things for us that he's already done through Christ. Things like healing and deliverance and prosperity and blessings and things of those nature are already provided for. We just have to accept that. We just have to accept it, and we have to get in line with it. We have to cooperate with it. If we would spend as much time learning God's general will as we did seeking out his specific will, God has a way of putting you at the right place at the right time to meet the right people. All through the Old Testament and the New Testament, you can see God's handiwork at work, where he takes people's lives who were fully committed to him, and he arranges things to where they are where he positions them to be, where he wanted them to be at the right time, at the right place, meeting the right people, causing the right doors to open or the wrong doors to close. Is that right? There's example after example of that. So, we need to trust God that he can take us where we need to go. If we would spend more time trying to live out his general will for our lives, then the specifics will begin to come clearer, and the Holy Spirit's voice will become clearer to you. If we will take care of our part is this, obedience. If we'll take care of our part, God will take care of his part. So we need to put the written will first. Now look at Proverbs with me, chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. It's going to be on the overhead for you. And look what it says. There's no doubt in my mind that God wants to lead us. I believe that he tries to lead us, but sometimes for lack of understanding or lack of being able to hear him clearly or lack of recognizing his unctions and leadings, we just can't seem to get it. And I believe it's because we are failing to put the word to practice in our lives. And when we do that, we're not clear because we're going to be in a state of confusion. Look at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know what the problem, a lot of the problem is we're always trying to figure it out. He tells us right here very clearly, don't lean to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. Did you know when you go about doing the will of God and you go about being obedient to his word and just doing the everyday things that God says he'll do, that he is directing your paths? He says, if you'll trust in me and with all your heart, just leave it in God's hands, that he will direct your paths. It's a promise. Trust in the Lord. So we need to learn how to do that. So we're always trying to figure it out. Quit leaning to our own. Remember last week, this is what I said. The Spirit of the living God speaks to your spirit. The Bible says the things of the Spirit are revealed to us by the Spirit, and we understand them by the Spirit. Are you with me? So he speaks to our spirit. It's not in your mind that you're always, and it's going to come clear here in just a minute when I show you a couple of scriptures. It's not in your mind that you always can figure out the will of God for your life. It's by the Spirit. So in everything we do, we acknowledge him. That means in our everyday life, everything that we practice, everything that we think, it should line up with God's word. We acknowledge him and we put him first. And when we do that, we can expect God to direct our paths. Right? Is that what it says? So we can believe that God will do that. The problem is we want to acknowledge everything else instead of God and his word. We like to do that. And then we wonder why we get confused and we're not sure the voice that we're hearing is the voice of the Lord. If you truly want his will for your life, you need to acknowledge him in all of your ways. You say, well, Pastor, how can studying the Bible help me to know the direction to go for my job, my ministry, my husband, my wife, whatever the particulars of my life? Well, it's this way. Turn to Psalms 119, 105, and look what it says. And it's probably on the overhead here. Look what it says. It says, his word, say his word with me. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How many's ever been out in the dark in the woods hunting a deer you'd shot that bled and got away? And you take a flashlight. And that flashlight is a lamp for your feet so you don't run into something or run off a cliff or down in a ditch or fall off in a hole or, better, worse yet, a tree slap you in the head, knock you down, knock you silly, or walk off the end of a bluff. How many knows what I'm talking about? The Bible's the same way. His word is a lamp. It is a light. It is something that illuminates our paths and gives us tells us where we should go and where the obstacles are, how to go around them. Amen? So it's his word first and foremost that is the leading factor to guide us in life. There are more things in the word that tells you how to live your everyday life than the Holy Spirit will connect with you and direct you in the specifics of your life. There's a lot more to this than there is to that. Because the leadings of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, are not every day, 24 hours a day, where it's God expects us to understand His Word, receive His Word, allow it to be our guide, allow it to be our lamp, allow it to be our light, to show us and illuminate our way, and to walk in that. When we do that, we are, whether we realize it or not, we are being guided or led by the Lord. Why? Because the Holy Spirit authored this. This is His will for us. And I like to call this God's general will. So from the written word, we can learn principles which help us determine and get God's will for our lives. His word helps us determine His will by giving us the guidelines and the principles that we need for everyday life. And that's how we get guided in this life, first and foremost. Now, so the first thing is we got to get in agreement with the scriptures. And then the second thing is, St. John 10:27, this is where we're going to learn the voice of the Holy Spirit. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Psalms 37, verse 23 says, the steps of a good man, and one version says, the steps of a righteous man. How many in here this morning realize you're righteous this morning? The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. In other words, God has already laid out a path for you, and He's already ordered for you to walk in a certain way. Matter of fact, most of the path that's laid out in the scriptures is laid out the same for everybody. We all walk the same path. But the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Now, we begin to learn the voice of the Lord by walking out the will of God. How many's ever got into a situation where you had to make a decision or you were put in a situation that was uneasy or not right, and all of a sudden the scriptures begin to roll up inside you and you had an understanding that I don't need to do this, I need to do this. All that is the Holy Spirit quickening the word to you, and it causes you, if you yield to it, to be guided into the truth of His word. It's allowing His word to dominate, dictate in our lives. If we get this part right, the other part becomes pretty easy, because we are yielding. Say that with me, yielding. Part of the Christian life is learning how to yield. We are yielding to the Lord by yielding to His word. Let me give you an example that really, well, somebody jumped on me one time, and I mean with both feet. And they were just ranting and raving at me. And I sat there, and while I was sitting there, I heard the scripture says, don't return evil for evil. I yielded to that, and the peace of God became my portion. At first, man, I was boiling. I mean, we still got flesh, even though we're saved. Or at least I do. Maybe some of y'all are walking on clouds, but I haven't arrived yet. Maybe some of you got there, but I haven't. So when I yielded to that, the peace of God came my portion, and I knew that I was being led by the Lord, because the Lord wants us to follow after His word. He quickened two or three words to me. He says, don't render evil for evil, railing for railing, accusation for accusation. This person was so mad, they were about to blow a gasket. How many knows what I'm talking about? Their face turned blood red, their eyeballs bulged out of their head, and I was sitting in a chair, and that person was screaming at me like I was deaf. By the way, that person was wrong. No, I'm serious. Thank you, sister. You're being led by the Lord this morning. I hear that. But anyhow, this lady rant and raved at me for quite some time, and I never once got aggressive. I never once said anything back hateful. When I got done, I said, may I pray for you, when she got done. And she didn't like that at all. Now, you tell me this morning, who was being led by the Lord? Huh? and who was being led by the flesh. If I would have leaned to my own understanding, I would have said, look, I'm going to stand up and just tell you, put you in your place, and we'll be done with this in a hurry. But you got to yield to the Lord and to His word. So by yielding to that inward voice that said that don't render railing for railing and accusation for accusation and evil for evil, I learned to hear the voice of God. Now listen, it was hard on my flesh. But by doing that, you get in tune with His voice. Did you know Jesus used to make statements, I only do what I see my Father do. I only speak what I hear my Father speak. He learned that through time spent in God's presence, in His word, and by obeying God. And that's the way we learn it. Then we learn to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. For He says, as many are led by the Holy Spirit, they are the sons of God. And I just gave you an illustration of a leading of the Lord, which you say, well, I never thought of it that way. Well, that's how He leads you. Listen to this scripture. St. John 16, verse 13, 14. He says, howbeit, now look, I'm going to insert a word here that's more modern. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come. Who's the Spirit of truth? The Holy Spirit. He will guide you into what? He will guide you into what? All truth. What is all truth? Right here. He will guide you into all truth. For He, look what He says. He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. Here's what we like. And I like it too, by the way. Okay? I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying this is how we think. And this is wrong to think this way. We think, we read that scripture and we say, however, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide us into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show me things to come. And we focus on the things to come. Right? When we think about being led with the Spirit, that's what we think of. But it was twofold here. He says, I'm going to show you all truth. The Word of God is the truth. And He said, I'm not going to speak of Myself, but I'm going to show you what I hear. And that is, He hears the Word, and He speaks it to us. And then He says, He'll show you things to come. And then He goes on to say, He shall glorify Me, and He shall receive of Mine and show it unto you. Now listen, everything He directs us into is in agreement with the written Word of God. Everything He directs us into glorifies Jesus. If it isn't in agreement with the Word of God and it doesn't glorify Jesus, then it's not the Holy Spirit. Amen? I've had a lot of people come up to me and say, the Lord told me this. And the Lord told me that. And it was in direct violation of what the Word of God says. And it's everything I could do to bite my tongue. And like, no, I don't want to correct you right now, but I'll just pray for you that God will help you see. We can never go outside the bounds of the Word of God. Never. The Holy Spirit will never take anything outside of what is the will of God and tell us. If something is telling us something contrary to what we know the will of God is, and this is why it's important that we get into the general will of God, because how are you going to determine if it's God or not if you don't even have a clue what the Bible says? This is very practical, by the way. I will get into the particulars of the unctions and the promptings and the visions and the still small voice and the things like that. Those are all valid. They're right. But if we don't get this part right, you won't understand the rest of it, because you have not trained yourself. Say trained. You have to train yourself to hear the voice of God. How do we train ourselves to hear the voice of God? By being obedient to the promptings and the unctions of the Word. First. The Holy Spirit leads us into truth. He don't speak of Himself. He glorifies Jesus. He will show us things to come, but He directs us by God's plan and will. He leads us by the inward witness, which means an assurance given to us by the Holy Spirit in our spirit. How many know you're born again this morning? Well, how do you know that? Don't everybody answer it once. How do we know that we're born again? Good answer. But what does he bear witness to?
The Word.
The Word. He bears witness with our spirit that the Word says that if we will receive Jesus and will ask God to forgive us, repent, that means turn, and turn to Him with our whole hearts, begin, confess Him as our Lord and Savior, then we are born again. So He bears witness of the truth, and He bears witness in our spirit because we understand that truth, right? So the Spirit, and it says, I don't like this. It says the Spirit itself. Listen, the Spirit is not a itself. That's a wrong translation. Should be the Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Not you're going to be. The Holy Spirit confirms it to where? Look at it. Where does He confirm it? Where does He bear witness? Come on, folks. I'm not trying to be trickery this morning. I'm really trying to teach us this. He bears witness with our spirit, which we talked about last week, is the real you, the core of your being, the part that God regenerated, the part that God caused a new birth to happen in when you received Him. That is your spirit, the new spirit that God has placed within you. Now listen, it is a live spirit. It's alive unto God. Before you got born again, you couldn't hear God because your spirit man was dead concerning the things of God. The moment you receive God, your spirit man became alive again. He brought new life into it, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit could habitate your spirit, and He could bear witness with your spirit. How many's ever seen two people witness the same thing? In other words, if I get up here sometimes if God gives me a word, and then you receive it, and then someone else comes along and gives you confirmation of that word that may not even have been here and heard it, but gives you confirmation. If they do that, they bore witness to what you already heard. All right? And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He bears witness in our spirit. He makes us assured that it's the real deal in our lives. There is a witness that happens there. It comes into agreement with what the Word of God says. The Holy Spirit confirms it to our spirits. All right, now listen. The Apostle Paul did the Lord's will. How many will believe that this morning? What I mean by is he was living every day out the will of God in his life. I'm talking about living for the Lord. I'm talking about his vocation. Please understand, this is where we've got to really be able to divide this. We got to separate the general will from the specific will. The specific will was he be an apostle. The general will was he was living for God with all of his heart. Turn to Acts chapter 10, verse 19. And look at this with me. I'm going to show you how the Lord led the apostles and how it works for us. What did I say? Acts chapter 10, not after chapter 10, and that's in the Amplified. I'm going to read it to you. Verse 19 through 21. I'm going to read both because we don't have the Amplified, so I want you to see it out of this one. When Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Verse 21. Then Peter went down to the men that were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he who ye seek. What is the cause wherefore you are come? Now listen to this out of the Amplified because it really brings it to light. What did I say? Verse 19 through 21 of Acts chapter 10. And while Peter was earnestly revolving the vision in his mind and meditating on it, the Holy Spirit said to him, Behold, three men are looking for you. Get up and go get up and go below and accompany them without doubt about its legality or its discrimination or hesitation. For I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men and said, I am the man you seek. What is the purpose of your coming? Now listen, what happened here? Peter was thinking on this vision that he had. How many understands Peter was in the will of God? Say that with me, will of God. And while he was in the will of God, God began to give him specific instruction. You first got to be living the will of God before you can expect the Holy Spirit to begin to give you specific instruction. The Bible said while he thought upon it, and he was having some real doubts about it, about this being the will of God, because God was asking him to go witness to Gentiles. But the Holy Spirit said, get up, doubting nothing, and go with them. And look, there was also confirmation. God had sent three men who was the servants of their master Cornelius, who sent, and an angel had appeared to him and told him what to go tell Peter. This is an important point I want you to get. The Holy Spirit, when he begins to reveal things to us, not all the time, but 99.9999% of the time, he's not just going to single you out and make you an island unto yourself and you have that revelation only. God will send someone to confirm it. That's safety. Is that right? No, it's not always that way. Let me give you an example of this. When we were over at the other church and we've been looking for land and our building for quite some time. And then you heard the story last week how we came over here at first and we was like, oh, man. Remember, I said, lean not to your own understanding. This is important. We think sometimes opportunities makes it the will of God. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. We think sometimes it's what we go by, what we see. Not necessarily. It can look good and still not be God. We came over here and just about the time all this was transpiring, God sent people into our church who was not part of our church that began to confirm it. Is that right, sister? Is that right, sister? Mary? Two confirmations. Now, I was wrestling with it. In my spirit, I was hearing yes. In my flesh, I was going, holy smokes. Are you kidding me? Don't you have something better, Lord? Now look at it. It looks good now, but you remember, some of you remember the initial, what it looked like. Matter of fact, some of you walked through here, and I know you didn't say it, but I know you thought it. It's like, Pastor, are you sure you're hearing from the Lord? Is that really God? And can you think you can pull this off in 8 weeks with that amount of money? Right? Raise your hand if you was one of those. Yeah. There was a couple. But God had, the first time I come through, no, the second time I come through, I started hearing the Holy Spirit bear witness with me. Then all of a sudden, plans began to flood my soul. I mean, God just began to supernaturally give me insight on how it could be done, how we could pull it off. I got with some people that had skills that are anointed that way. We began to talk, and it all started coming together. People come into the church. First time they come into the church. Was it the first time you come or second time? I get up and announce that we're considering a place in Bon Terre. Second. And she says, the Lord says that's where we're supposed to be, is in Bon Terre. Sister Mary had been coming to church a few weeks by then, haven't you, sister? Maybe. Was it the first time? All right. Now you see how God works. Understand this. And she says she had a prayer. She had a vision or a dream or something that she was going to have prayer meetings out here. And she said, Lord, how am I going to have them in the parking lot? Are you seeing this? The Lord began to put 2 + 2 together, I began to hear the voice of the Lord. Other people began to confirm it. Then the board came through, and the Holy Spirit began to confirm to them. Listen, the Bible says, in the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. That's why we need each other. We need to be accountable to each other. So you can see how God confirmed here in the book of Acts. Now look at Acts chapter 16. And I'll show you another case of the very same thing that says what we're talking about this morning. Remember, we got to get the general will first. Acts 16. Now, this is Paul, verse 6 and 7. How many believe that Paul was living out his life for God wholeheartedly? Now, listen, when I tell you, you got to get the general will down. I'm not telling you this morning you got to be perfect. That is not what I'm saying. Because I am far from perfect. I'm close, but I'm not there. Thank you, sir. I'm kidding. I'm not there. I know I'm not there. There's a lot to be desired in my Christian walk. But listen, when you're living for God and you're doing your very best to live for God, then the Holy Spirit can work with that, and he can begin to show you things and instruct you and lead you. Verse 6, look at it. Now, I'm going to have a little trouble pronouncing these words. Now, when they had gone through Perga and the region of Galatia, is that Galatia? And were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And they were come to, somebody say that word, all right? And they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. In other words, the Lord, they had thought, well, and this is how we do. Sometimes we want to go do something. Let me get my Bible so I can read you the rest of it. Sometimes we want to go do something, and we get really determined to go do it, but yet it's not the Lord's will. And the Lord told him, no, don't go. He suffered him, it said, not to go. I would believe that this, it said they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to go. Then it said he suffered them. Now listen, how many's ever had your child, you restrained them from doing something and they suffered? Same thing. And what I'm saying is that there was a restraint there that said, don't go. I don't know that the Holy Spirit spoke like he did to Peter, but there was a witness on the inside that made him feel uncomfortable. Here's what I'm telling you. The Holy Spirit sometimes will give you if it's not his will, the Holy Spirit will give you a feeling inside is, this is not right. Huh? Don't do it. Restrain yourself. Refrain from doing it. But look what else happened. He also brought confirmation. Read the rest of it. Verse 9. As they went on down, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. Now listen. Now God's beginning to reveal the will of God to him. He restrained him. Now he's beginning to give him insight. Sometimes God tells us no. How many believes that? And sometimes we wrestle with that, don't we? Especially if it's something we want to do. Paul had set his mind to go to these places, and yet the Spirit of the Lord, for whatever reason, it could be that there would be trouble there and God was trying to avoid him. It could be that there was a setup of the evil spirits. It could be that they just weren't ready to receive the gospel. It could be that God was saying this is just not the timing. It could be that it is just not God's will to go there. But he gave him a vision that night. He said, a vision appeared to him in the night, and there stood a man in Macedonia, and he prayed with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now he revealed the will of God to him. We need to be sensitive that when the Lord begins to restrain us from doing certain things, that he may come along and say, here's the reason why. There's something else I had in mind. We went to buy land one time over at Flat River Park. How many remember that? I met with a city, had a deal worked out, And in my spirit, I took the church over there. The church was excited. Good piece of property. Looked good on the surface. I mean, right next to the park, heavy traffic, Highway 32 right there, highly visible on the hill. Went over there, talked to the city, actually got a real estate agent, made a contract. And the whole time, the Lord's going, mm-mm. And the people are going, mm-hmm. This is right off the highway, Pastor. This is good. This is good. This is good. And we already had building plans and everything. Time went on, and every day it was grieved in my spirit, grieved in my spirit. It was a restraining that was happening. And then through, I don't even remember how it all came about, another person called me and told me that there's problems with that piece of property. And then I realized, there's a problem here. I've done signed a deal telling them I'll take it if they accept my offer. Man, I've just wasted the church's money. We're in trouble. And the Holy Spirit the whole time is trying to direct me to not do what I was doing. But yet we were so, this is where we miss it. We were so determined. We were so wanting to go forward in God. Listen to me, in your own life, sometimes you're up against something and you're so determined that you need to go another step and you got to have God to move in your life and you get ahead of God. Is that right? We've all done it. And the guy called me and said, there's a problem with that land. You need to check on it. It's unstable land. I said, what? He said, it's chat underneath it. He said, the city's trying to dupe you. He was an engineer. I called him, the engineer that did the study on it. He says, yeah, you'll have to drill 50 feet down to hit bedrock and put concrete piers and in to build a building so it'll be stable. If there's ever any kind of shaking, that whole mountain's gonna fall. You see how important it is to pay attention to God? Well, it left me out. We got a hold of the real estate agent, told the city, said, you are trying to pull a fast one on us and we don't appreciate it. And basically we're saying under our breath, God has warned us before we stepped off into something really dangerous. And ruined, would have shut our church down. Would have took everything we had financially, would have left us devastated. And we would have had a piece of ground that was worth nothing. Good location, but it's worth nothing. I'm saying is if we'll be sensitive to the Lord, He can and He will direct us. And there was a witness there that helped bring this all about. We need to be cautious about how Christians tend to attribute every thought, every idea to the leading of the Lord. I guess I've done this too. Sometimes in our circles that we get so desirous to be led by God, so desirous to feel the Spirit, to know the Spirit, that if we get indigestion, we say, oh, that was God. Take some Alka-Seltzer. And I promise you that'll go away. I'm kidding. Listen. No, I'm not kidding. We need to spend time in the written word. And if you will do that, you will not have any trouble accurately hearing the leadings of the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, His word helps us discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Each time we follow His leading, each time we listen to the Lord, and we don't let our mind, remember what I said, lean not to your own understanding. We don't let our mind override our wisdom and our spirit or the unctions of the Spirit. Then we become more familiar with Him. You know, God very rarely, here's something we need to understand too. God very rarely leads us spectacularly. Most of the time, it's a still, small voice. And here's the problem. We are sometimes looking for the spectacular that we miss. We don't even hear the unctions and the wooings of the Holy Spirit because we're looking for something so spectacular that we miss God in all of it. You ever done that? We all have. And here's another caution. Physical circumstances are not necessarily indicators of God's will for your life. This church building was a good witness to that, because if we'd went by looks, we would have all took off running as soon as we'd came in here. And look what the Lord has done. Look how nice it looks. Here's one in 1 Corinthians 16:9. And open doors in the New Testament are not necessarily God's guidance. They are sometimes just opportunities. 1 Corinthians 16:9 says, "For a great door, an effectual door, has opened unto me, and there is many adversaries." You can't look at circumstances to be an indicator of God's will. I'm getting close to wrapping up, I promise. 5 years ago in our church, we were running 60 people or so, and my company went bankrupt. I worked for. I began to get calls from recruiters, "You need to get out of that place before they fold, for it implodes on you. Get you a job," and we've got one, and several of them call me. Opportunities. The Lord said, "Stay." Now listen, sometimes when the Lord tells you to do something, that doesn't mean you're just going to feel rosy about it. And buddy, I want to tell you, every time I got a phone call, I would get a little less rosy about it. And the Lord said, "Stay." And I listened to the bankruptcy proceedings on the phone. Our plant was going to close down. Finally, a buyer stepped in. Then another buyer got interested in it and came in and outbid them. This was all happening in Delaware. And we were listening in on a conference call. And the company that bought us come in and stuck $100 million into us and turned us into a viable company and turned us around. And here we are five years later. You can't always go by the circumstances. You can't always go by what looks like it's going to be something good or something bad. If the Lord's telling you to do something, how many understands? He sees the future. He knows the future. He may not even share with you what's going to transpire. All he's asking you to do is follow him, and he'll take you where you need to go. Amen. Thank you. One last set of statements before I close, and it is this. How many believes that God has a good plan for our lives? Jeremiah 29:11 says, "He has a plan for you, and he has an expected end for you. It's plans to do you good and not to do you evil." We first got to believe that. How many believe that Jesus said he's the author and the finisher of our faith? That means that what he started, he's going to complete. If he started a journey with us, if we'll just follow him and cooperate with him, he will complete it. How many believes that Jesus had a destiny? Did you know Jesus found himself in the scriptures? And that's how he found out his destiny. Jesus said, "I have come, and lo," Hebrews 10:7, "come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God." He began to see himself in the general will, and then the specific will became real to him. I'm going to stop right there. I've got more, but I'm going to stop for time's sake. If you will get about doing the general will, quit worrying about all the specific stuff. God will begin to open that specific stuff up to you. A lot of times, if we're spending all of our time worrying about all the details, we miss God because we're in a state of trying to figure it out with our mind all the time. Come on up, Adam, if you will. Stand to your feet with me. I want you to say this with me before we close. God wants to lead me and guide me. He has good plans for my life. I'm going to trust him with all my heart and endeavor not to lean to my own understanding. Thank you again, Adam. You're going to have to do something different with that. Father, we thank you today. Now, everybody, bow your heads with me. We thank you, Lord, that your word is true, that the Holy Spirit has come to lead us and guide us, and he's come to show us the specific will and the general will for our lives. Father, I pray today that there be a quickening to every believer in here today to your voice. I pray, God, that we'll get about doing your word and let you sweat the details and not let us have to worry about it. I pray, God, that you begin to open the ears, the spiritual ears of your people, Lord. I pray that in Jesus' name. I trust because I know all of you here today.